Good morning and welcome to Stoke Green Baptist Church's online service again on YouTube. We're so pleased that you can join us week by week, or even if this is your first time with us. We're doing a little series called Where's Wally? And we're going to go over and try and work out where Wally is today in Suffolk. Oh yes, good morning. Well, I have some clues for you, and the first clue is this one. It's not in my contract, but would you like to come over and join me for a game of cards? It's not in my contract, but would you like to come over and join me for a game of cards? And here's the second clue. If I walked in halfway, then I would be starting to walk out again. If I walked in halfway, then I would be starting to walk out again. And here's the third clue. It took me a while to find one, but I found one eventually. It took me a while to find one, but I found one eventually. It's your fourth clue. A different material unites us to the Father. A different material unites us to the Father. I wonder if you managed to work out where Wally was this week from the clues. From the first clues, Wally said he wasn't under contract, but he was inviting you to come and play cards with him, to come over to play cards with him. The word that you were looking for there was bridge, of course, a card game contract bridge, and crossing over the bridge to play with him. The second clue, I said, if we walk into this place and get halfway, from that point, we're starting to walk out again. And the answer to that part was wood. If you walk into some woods, you only get to the halfway point and then you're walking out again. And then the third clue was I wandered around this town looking for a wooden bridge. So it won't take a genius to work out that where we were. The fourth clue was the cross. The cross, the memorial cross in the town. And I was saying that a wooden example of this makes the connection back to the Father. And again, you have a wooden cross, don't you, that it's through the cross of Jesus that we're able to be reconciled to the Father. So at the end of the day, Wally was in Woodbridge. Well, today we're going to take a second look at the parable of the lost son. Last week we saw his desire for independence, but how he abused that freedom, squandering his share of the inheritance on wild living. We saw how the money soon ran out and how he was left distant, destitute, and desperate in a foreign land in a time of famine. So we're going to turn again to Luke's Gospel and chapter 15 this morning. Verse 17 we'll read from. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for your love and grace and forgiveness. As we see in this parable, the grace and forgiveness of a father of a wayward child. We thank you that in the story, the father was willing to welcome him back, despite all he had done, despite how he had sought to state his independence. And Lord, that's a lovely picture for us this morning of your willingness to welcome us back. Despite our sin, despite our failing, despite so often going our own way. And so, Lord, we pray that you will just speak to us in this passage today. Help us to learn the lessons that we need to learn. Father, help us to learn the lessons that you're teaching us through this period of epidemic in our nation. Father, we thank you that we have been able to meet again this week in prayer in the church. We pray, Lord, it wouldn't be too long before we can be, as it were, reconciled together on a Sunday. But Lord, those conditions need to be right. And so we wait on you for that. Father, we thank you for Di and the musicians and the singers who help us week by week. We pray for them, that you'll sustain them and give them renewed energy. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, as the videos are put together each week, that you will help in all the practicalities of that, in the editing, and just all that takes place. Well, we continue to pray for those who may be unwell at this time, or struggling or grieving. Lord, be their comfort and their strength, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to give God all the glory this morning. And in our first song, we sing our praises to him. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Give him the glory, great things he has done.
To God be the glory.
Well, I've had to come in from outside because the wind was blowing so strongly it was affecting the noise on the camera. We're looking at the second half of the story of the lost son as he returns home to his father. And today from verse 17, we see the prodigal coming to his senses. Perhaps rather like a person who's been out on a heavy night drinking, who wakes up in the morning to the hangover and the reality of life. This is kind of what is happening to this young man. He's taken his father's money, he's spent it all, and now the reality of his situation has come home to him. Some translations render verse 17, he came to himself. And that's the first of six things that I want to bring out this morning. We could call them the six steps on the road to repentance. He came to himself. He came to his senses. The phrase would suggest that for a time at least, he had not been himself. He'd been pretending to be something else. He'd been living a lie. He kept going until he had no money left. Is there not something in sin that causes people to act irrationally for a time? Perhaps there is no better illustration of this than the extramarital affair. For a time, it might seem incredibly exciting. But of course, at some point, you have to come and face the reality of what you're doing and the impact that might be having on your wife, on your family, and all the rest of it. But while you're in the moment, you just kind of hope it's going to go on forever and you're not going to have to face that reality. But then it comes. And if there is ever going to be genuine repentance, it must involve every one of us waking up to ourselves and to the fact that we're all sinners before a holy God. Only then will we find the hope of salvation that is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second step on the road to repentance, after coming to see himself as he truly is to see his father in a new light. Remember before, he couldn't wait to get away from his father's house. He wanted his own life, to live by his own rules, to follow his own path in the world. But now he suddenly remembers his father's household and how, in fact, his father's servants are better off than he is now, feeding pigs. They were getting better treatment than he was. And so I think that he is starting to realise how good he had it when he walked with his father, when he lived with his father. And you know, I believe that this is an important aspect of any one of us coming to genuine repentance, coming to see our Heavenly Father in a new light, a realisation that God the Father is immeasurably good. Do we desire a restored relationship with him? As this young man considered his own position, his hunger, his loneliness, his desperate situation, what gave him hope? Well, it was his thoughts of his father. If only my father would just treat me like one of his servants. And perhaps you're here watching this morning, and God has been showing you your true self. You've been coming face to face with the reality of your sin, your despair over your attitudes and over your very life. I just want to encourage you that God can give you hope in this situation. Perhaps you've seen that hope in the lives and on the faces of other Christians, in their assurance, something that you want for yourself. You know, when someone sees themselves as they really are, and they start to see God the Father as he truly is, that can awaken in them a desire for change. And that's what we see on behalf of the young man here. He desires change, verses 18 to 20. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. This young man wasn't happy just to let his life ebb out there looking after the pigs. He realized he needed to do something about it if ever he was going to make progress forward, if ever he was going to get out of this miserable existence. I will set out and I will say to my father. And look at the elements of what he intended to say. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. By living and acting the way he had, the prodigal had broken God's rules primarily. Yes, it was important what he did to his earthly father, but primarily he had sinned against God. And he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He saw that his sins had broken the relationship with his father. And that's what we must see, that every one of our sins separates us from our Heavenly Father. And the third thing he intends to say is, make me a hired servant. I believe initially on the part of the prodigal was a desire to try and make recompense for his sins. Perhaps he thought, well, you know, if I work for my father for the next 20, 30 years, I will have paid off my debt, the cost of my failings. And often I think that that is a place that lots of us get to. We realize we're sinful and we want to do something about it. So we try to do good to outweigh the bad that we've done. But we'll never do enough good works to put ourselves right with God. So this is the mindset of the prodigal as he returns, that he wants to work his way back into the favour of his father. He comes to see himself as he is. He comes to see his father in a new light. He desires to change. But fourthly, he comes to understand that forgiveness is only by grace. Forgiveness is only by grace. Here's the prodigal going home. And no doubt on that way home, he was rehearsing in his head the things he was going to say over and over again. What reaction was he going to get from the father? He might have expected the father not to be very welcoming at all when he got to the door. He might have expected him to turn him away, to send him packing. But that's not the reaction. In reality, quite the opposite, in fact, happens. Second half of verse 20 there. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father comes out to meet the son and shows him wonderful love, undeserved love, unconditional love. Of course, the actions of the father in the story mirror the love, the attitude of God the Father towards us as sinners, if we are truly repentant. God is full of mercy and grace. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 about this grace I'm going to read Ephesians 2, 1 to 9. It could have been really written as a commentary on the prodigal son. Ephesians 2, 1 to 9. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That was the prodigal, wasn't it? As good as dead. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, satisfying the cravings of our sin, our flesh, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ in the heavenly realms and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. You can't earn it. You can't earn your way back to God and try and just make up for all the things that you've done wrong. You'll never do enough to put things right with God. It is all of God's grace towards us. It's possible because God came to earth in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed on that wooden cross for our forgiveness. He pays the price. For this father to kiss him and to accept him was beyond the son's wildest dreams. That kiss signified acceptance and forgiveness. We notice how in verse 21, the son now responds, but he only responds with part of his prepared speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He acknowledges his sin against heaven and against his father. He recognizes his own unworthiness to be counted as son. But do you notice he says nothing now about becoming a hired servant? He says nothing about paying his way back into the family. Why? Because he is overwhelmed by the compassion, by the grace shown to him by the Father. He sees that no amount of money he could ever repay would restore that relationship. He comes to understand that any new relationship that he has with his Father has to be instigated by the Father's side, out of the Father's grace and mercy. It's a free gift, and he must accept it. And friends, if we're genuinely repentant before God for our sin, it must involve us realizing we are incapable of earning our way back and accepting the free gift of grace from the Heavenly Father. The truly repentant sinner comes to see himself as he really is. He comes to see the Father in a new light, he or she desires to change. But then comes the realization that forgiveness can only be received by faith through God's grace. And here is the fifth thing that I want us to notice, or the fifth step for the repentant sinner. And that is that he is saved from a certain death. He is saved from a certain death. We notice again in verse 20, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The father was looking out for the son. He ran to him. Why? Because actually I believe that that son was heading for a death sentence. Should he walk back into the community uninvited by the father, then the locals, his tribe's people, most likely would have had him put to death because of the disgrace that he had brought on the community. That was what the Old Testament law required. If you look back to Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verses 18 to 21, it was the law that someone who brought disgrace on the community should be stoned to death for what they had done. And in those verses there in Deuteronomy, we see the serious view that God takes of such sin and what the due punishment is for rebellion. And in the same way for us, for our sin, for our independent living from God, we deserve death. We deserve eternal death. We deserve separation from a holy God for eternity. But as John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God's demand for justice, the punishment for sin, is still death. That was brought to bear on the Lord Jesus Christ, on his son, his perfect, holy son. As Jesus went to the cross, he took the judgment that should be ours. He took the eternal death that should be ours. He took the separation from the Father on himself in our place. He was the, on that cross, the wood bridge, wasn't he? That cross of wood was the bridge to the Heavenly Father so that we could be brought back. It's the cross that reunites us to the other side and back to the Father. Just as the Father came out to meet the prodigal, so God has come out to meet us in the person of Jesus Christ before our actions lead to that eternal death. The truly repentant sinner comes to see himself as he really is, to see God in a new light, to desire to change, but then to find that forgiveness can only come through grace, which saves him from a certain death. And then finally, sixthly, remarkably, the repentant sinner is recognized as a son. It's like he's adopted back into the family as a son, not simply a servant, but a son. The prodigal set out from the far country, hoping to find a new life. He set out for that far country to make a new life for himself and all the excitement of that. But in reality, he found that true life was back in his father's house. Verse 22, but the father said to the servants, quick,
Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Clothes, jewelry, friends, a joyful feast, all found back at home in the father's house. And the ring was a sign of sonship, and the robe was a sign of forgiveness. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, we read this. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. And that's the lovely picture of what the Lord Jesus does for us. He takes his pure garment of righteousness and he puts it over us, and all our filthy rags that we were wearing, the rags of our sin, and he covers us in his righteousness. And so he presents us before the Father, made spotless in his purity. This was a feast, not a funeral. And it's all through God's grace. Have you come into the benefits of being a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you know the joy of God as your Heavenly Father? Notice the Father's description here of his Son. He was dead, but he is alive. He was lost, but he's now found. This is the experience of every lost sinner who comes to the Father through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with John chapter 5 and verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word, says Jesus, and believes him who sent me, has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. That's that picture of the wooden bridge of the cross of Calvary that we can cross over to God the Father on. The perfection of Jesus Christ, who's done it all, who's paid the price of our sin. I pray that that might be the experience of every person listening this morning. Let's just pray. Oh Lord, I pray that we would be repentant sinners who come to see ourselves as we truly are. Lord, that we would come to see God the Father in a new light and realize that living his way and living in his house is best. I pray that there would be planted in us a desire for change, but also a realization that we cannot pay our way back to God, but that we must receive the free grace, the free favor of the Father, that we can be saved by him from a certain death, and we can be adopted as sons and daughters in his family to be with him now and for all eternity. What a tremendous story. What a tremendous parable this is. What deep, profound truths that teaches us. But Lord, I just pray that it might be the reality for each one, in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we reflect on the message we have just heard, we come with humble thanks that we can come back to you, Lord, time and again. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, and your endless love. Whether we drift away from you or actively turn our backs on you and try and ignore you, you are the welcome of home when we have made ourselves a stranger. Time and again, you restore our soul, and we worship you now. Lord, every day you pour on me the blessings of your eternity, and that's what's so amazing about your grace. We have walked across the wooden bridge of the cross to meet you and be saved. We are loved and we are forgiven in order that we might love and forgive others. Freely I've received, now freely to give. Give my life to you. Lord, may all the glory go to you this week as we live our lives for you.